How's everyone today on this beautiful, cool morning? Great. We're going to open our worship service by standing and singing hymn number 67, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this beautiful day. And Lord, thank you for all these friends that are gathered here today. It's so nice to see some old familiar faces that we haven't seen in a while. Lord, thank you for that assurance that you are our Father and that you lead us and guide us every day. May we all remember to praise him all the days long, no matter what we're facing and what's going on in our lives. Dear Lord, please be with us today that we hear the message, we open our hearts and internalize those words and go out and share the joy and the light of Jesus to those around us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Some people are a little scared to hear the microphone, but hear their voices.
I could hear myself.
Take some getting used to. It's a great day. We got some familiar faces and some dear friends here this morning, and it's going to be a good day to be in God's house. The sun is shining. Spring is coming. Who misses their hour of sleep? But that's all right, because that means spring's coming. I'm willing to give up an hour of sleep for some warmer weather. Do we have any announcements we need to cover this morning?
Tommy, Quaker Men Breakfast. Please emphasize that. 2 weeks from yesterday, we're having a Quaker Men community breakfast. Everyone is invited. Are we having fried apple pies?
I don't think so. We don't have that.
No fried apple pies, but we will have extra gravy.
So there are some flyers in the Fellowship Hall foyer. If you pick some of those up and pass them out, that'd be great. Put them in your workplaces, your schools, wherever you have a chance to advertise the Quaker Men Breakfast. It's always a great fundraiser, and it helps us develop and pay for projects throughout the year, helping other folks. Also, there's a center work day at the end of the month. It's March the 28th. We'll be doing some inside and outside work. So members, I'm calling on you as a member of Center Friends. We've got to take care of the church you have agreed to become a part of. So I am convicting you and guilting you and doing whatever pastoral words I can use to get you to show up on March 28th so we can clean the building inside and out and make it presentable to the community and to those who use it on a regular basis. It's our duty as members to love this building, love the church, and love the people that come to it. Are there any other announcements we need to highlight?
Yeah, to go along with what you're talking about, come help fix up the center. A few weeks ago, I was chosen as one of North Carolina people to. I'm a member of the Arbor Association Trees, and I filled out the application to the best of my knowledge, and they're going to send us a bunch of trees. So I'm going to share those with all of us. I told Don, and I think David, that they're going to be like 6 or 7 inch saplings, and we can plant them around the meeting in memorial to all our loved ones that we've lost.
Very good. Very good. Any other announcements? If not, will our ushers come forward, please? Let us pray over our blessings. Father God, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for the friends you've given us here today to worship you, to praise your name. That is our first and foremost goal, is to lift you up and to exalt your name through the whole world. Lord, you continue to bless us with your grace and your mercy. You continue to love us and forgive us and deliver us from all the things that press against us and press against our faith. Lord, as we sacrifice ourselves, I just ask that you continue to give us those blessings. You continue to shower your grace and your love over us. Give us your will as a church. Help us see those that need help in our world. Lord, we thank you again and all the blessings you've given us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
the wind would catch it and keep it flying. The kites were not sturdy, so sometimes they would crash hard right before we ever got them off the ground and whatever get in the tree. But sometimes one of the bunch of us would have a great day and the kite would take off and would fly so high it would fly over the tops of the trees. The funny thing is, once it got over the top of the trees, it would jerk its line out of your hand. It would go tumbling around over the field and everybody chased that ball with flying because we dove on it and hoped that the kite would crash when we got it. Then at the end of the day, sometimes the kite would be so far away, it'd be tiny. It'd be so tiny you couldn't hardly see it. And then normally the kite either the wind would die, the kite would crash, the string would break, or something like that would happen. And then we'd all jump in the back of the truck, see if we could get the kite and see how far away it was. Of course, you couldn't do that anymore either. So today I brought some kites with me and to show different types and yeah, these are kites that I haven't taken out yet. This is a butterfly kite, imagine that. It's a normal, just a regular size. And then I can't wait to open this one. This one is almost 3 feet across, and some of you guys would probably hang wild off of it, honestly. So we're going to try that later. Now, the next kite I have, I brought to help tell a story. I have a story today. Have to have a little space today. Yeah, this is the only one that survived last year and is still put together.
Sounds like our newest wee friend was ready to go to wee friends already. It's been definitely a good day to fly some kites over the last couple days. Too strong, yeah. So, like I always ask, who's seen God this week? Hey, all right. More hands are going up each and every week. Would anyone like to share their God moment or their praise?
I will. I not only saw God, but I saw God's grace that Tommy talked about last week, one of the examples that he gave us. We had a young man who had a little bump up in our parking lot, a student. He came straight in the building, told us, asked us to find out who the other car was. The other student was fine. First thing she said was, "Are you okay?" And parents came and exchanged information. And it was just God's grace all around the whole morning.
Sometimes accidents cause people to act not like themselves. And it's good to see young people being forgiving and showing compassion and acting in grace and mercy. Any other praises anyone wants to share? Well, I'll tell you a praise I had, or I saw God yesterday. We went to a group of us. It was Quaker Men and a couple other folks. Lindsay and Avery came out, and Marvin, the chef Marvin, came out yesterday. And we cleaned up a yard in a community member's house. It was pretty in desperate need of some assistance. And so we got together yesterday morning, and we raked and blew leaves and cut vines and just a little bit of everything. And Marvin brought us some chili and some peanut butter chocolate brownies. So we know if Marvin made them, they were good. But seeing a group of people come together, and as a group of people that if you saw us in the grocery store or something, you probably wouldn't say, "All right, he goes and he hangs out with him, and they go together, and then this person goes with this person, and then based off what this person said, this person may not go with this person." It was a group, it was a hodgepodge of people, of backgrounds, of understanding of their faiths, of compassion, just a conglomeration of people coming together of different ages, different genders, different backgrounds, and we served somebody that we didn't even meet. The elderly lady stayed in the house, and we didn't get a chance to meet her, and yet we stayed there, we worked, we never met her, and I thought we had a good time. I thought there were some laughs, there were some pictures taken to some of us' arguments that don't like our picture taken, but we came together as a team, we gave up part of our Saturday, and we served, and that's what it's about. That's what it's about. The chili and the brownies helped, but we didn't know about that before we signed up. So that's what the God moment was for me this week. Any other praises? Well, as always, we have prayer requests. Are there anybody would like to share? You know, it's interesting how God connects people. So Jimmy Miller, when I was working night shift 3 months ago, I stopped Jimmy Miller. He was riding his go-kart. He was with a buddy. And I saw him, nice boy, said he went to Southeast, and they were just having fun late at night. They bought two new go-karts, and they were test driving them over in the community center parking lot. Good old country boys doing donuts. No big deal. They apologized. Come to find out that they later had caused some damage that they didn't know about over on the soccer fields. They had been wet, and they'd done some damage over the town hall. And the boys quickly offered to take care of it. It wasn't a, "I didn't do it." It wasn't an, "I didn't do this, I didn't do that. You can't prove it." It was a, "We'll make it right. We'll come out, we'll fix it, we'll put down grass, we'll do whatever we need to do." So it's interesting how God connects things together, and unfortunately, Jimmy lost his life in that awful accident that was on Bernie Road, if you saw in the news. So just remember his family, remember him, and of course remember Southeast. Seems like every year Southeast has her tradition of losing somebody, as long as I can remember. Any others? That's Clint Murray. Okay. Betty King also asked for prayers for Heather and her daughter that are going through pneumonia. And Betty asked for some prayers for herself. So we want to always lift up Betty. She's faithful in coming to the parades, and she's partied with us at church under the bridge, and we want to keep Betty in our prayers. Also, we want to remember and pray for Ginger. She's at home resting. As you know, she takes a couple Sundays off, and we want her to enjoy those Sundays so that she can get her needed rest and re-energize for her ministry and music. So let's remember Ginger as she rests today. It is a praise this morning that we see Linda here today. I almost overlooked that, and that is my fault because I'm just so used to seeing Linda. Her and I talk on a regular basis, and we write letters, so it's not a surprise for me to interact with her, but Linda's here this morning. And before we go into our prayer, Linda asked, as many of you know, her husband Vic passed away back in February, and she asked that if Center could do just a little something, just a little quick remembrance, a little something. And so the flowers have been purchased in honor and memory of Vic. And so Linda put some thoughts together that Martha Jo then kind of creatively put into something that I can read. And so let's take this moment, and I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to be in the quiet for just a minute, and then I'll close us in our prayers and praises with a prayer. Victor Vic Eddie Trogdon was born August 23, 1943, to Lena Irene and Garland Randolph Trogdon in Franklinville, Randolph County, North Carolina. Vic was the only baby his mother was able to carry to full term after many losses, and therefore he was an only child. He grew up in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and his parents cooked and served donuts and coffee. As an adult, Vic took up cooking as he began his career. He worked with several eating establishments in Asheboro and helped open Paw Paw's Place, home of the best hamburgers in town. That restaurant, I believe, is still in operation. Vic met and married Tara Newman. He was a stepfather to a son, Greg, and a daughter, Robin. Greg's family and Robin currently reside in Sanford. Unfortunately, to the marriage to Tara, who was now deceased, it did not last. Vic entered the Army, serving in Vietnam. Upon his return, Vic and his mother got involved in flea markets in Myrtle Beach. We all know those are quite big and quite popular in Myrtle Beach still today. There he met and married Linda Jordan, and along came Larry, a son. Vic started driving a truck for Hayes and eventually drove for Todd Durham. His wife Linda became ill with cancer and was later assigned to hospice. Vic was a member of the Asheboro Veterans Association. He was an outgoing person and made friends easily. His best friend was Clarence Garner. One of his favorite pastimes was watching the race. Vic and Linda Marley Trent were married January 8, 2004. He took Linda on trips and showed her places of interest, such as the Talladega Super Speedway, as well as other racetracks. In Alabama, they traveled to the Hank Williams Memorial Cemetery and visited the gravesite of the legendary singer Hank Williams Sr. After Hurricane Katrina in 2005, Vic took Linda to the parts of Mississippi and Louisiana to see the devastation of the powerful storm. They enjoyed their travels, but always found their way back home here in the Center community. Vic died the morning of February 4th, 2020. He was 76 years of age. Linda wanted to share these words as a tribute to Vic. She expresses her appreciation for the calls, the visits, and most importantly, the prayers, and especially for the cards and notes that she received offering sympathy, as well as birthday wishes that she had in January. So we remember Vic Trogdon, and we honor Linda, that Linda is a powerhouse Quaker in the Center community. Linda has served in many aspects of the old North Carolina Yearly Meeting. She's one of our historical members here at Center. I will not say old, I will say historical. But most importantly to me, Linda is my biggest cheerleader. We write letters back and forth. I think I've told some of you that. The days of the phone calls, we don't do phone calls, we write cards and letters. And it keeps that old tradition of pen pals going, and she tells me about her month and what's coming up. And I get to go visit Linda, and if you ever have the chance to visit Linda, you will absolutely be blessed beyond measure. So we remember Vic, and we honor Linda, and we do so in prayer. May we settle down for silence, and I'll close us in prayer. Father, we come to you as a smiling body of believers in celebration of you waking us up today. We thank you for the breath that fills our lungs, the sunshine that lights our eyes, and the wind that goes across our face. It is in those things that we realize you are in control of all things. You are in control of the world you created. You impact our lives, and we worship you and praise you for that. Lord, you saw the many hands that went up seeing you this past week. It is my prayer that more hands go up, that more eyes are opened, that more hearts are touched by the light of Christ. Lord, you heard the needs. You heard the sickness, the loss. The loss of a young person. Lord, and while we never want to lose anyone, it is especially hard when it is a young person in a tragic, tragic incident. Lord, I lift up the Southeast High School community. I lift up the family of Jimmy Miller and all those that were in the accident with him. But Lord, I ask for grace and mercy upon the driver of that truck. We don't know what he's going through. We don't know where his faith lies. So we pray as corporate believers for his grace and his mercy that you place upon his life. That he see the light. That he recognize there is a purpose behind everything. Lord, if he doesn't know you, I ask that you lead him to you. Or you place someone in his life, whether it be in the school community or in his family, that he be brought to you where he can recognize that you are offering unconditional love and forgiveness. Lord, we remember Vic Trogdon today. In a sweet memorial that I read, prepared by his wife Linda, we thank you for his life. He impacted Linda's life in so many ways, and she is forever blessed because of it. But Lord, you bless us with Linda. You bless us with a weighty Quaker, a knowledgeable woman, a strong woman, a woman who's not afraid to say what she thinks, regardless of the outcome. She stands firm in her faith. She loves you and she praises you. Lord, and I thank you personally for her in my life. Lord, be with any unspoken needs or praises that have been expressed silently today. Fill this place with your Holy Spirit and be with me as I deliver your word according to your gospel. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. for having water up here, but apparently my allergy pill just kicked in, and I feel like I've got a mouthful of cotton. Good gracious, that hit me like a ton of bricks. So one thing I forgot to mention during prayer requests is pray for me. I will be going on a trip, going out of county, so I will be unavailable beginning, whatever time I finish preaching, till about Thursday. I'm taking some time, and it's just me, and I have my permission slip signed by Whitney that I can go. But I am going away and spending some time in some solitude. I'll be at the East Coast looking at the big pond and kind of letting the last couple months just kind of float out in the ocean a little bit. So I'll be spending some time away, but if you do need me, I will have my phone, but for any kind of emergency issues, you can contact Ministry and Council, and we have ways of getting in touch with them. So this morning, last week we talked about God's grace, or it's his unmerited favor. We used Paul's words in Romans and the letter in Titus to help us understand what grace is and how it can work in our lives. And I told you that God's grace brings freedom to all people who acknowledge it, to all people who accept it, and it helps teach the right way, the godly way of living. And when we live under God's grace, we learn to say no to worldly passions, ungodliness, sin. We learn how to say no in those things. We are strong in God's grace. God's grace is offering us a gift that we haven't earned. And that's heaven. So we're going to look at another tribute or another attribute that goes with God's grace. And we always talk about God's grace and his mercy. And so we'll be looking at God's mercy this morning. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to the Beatitudes in the Gospel of Matthew. It's a short one, but it's a powerful one. And it says, Matthew 5:7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Now, just like last week, and I made it kind of an interactive sermon, what words come to mind when I say mercy? When you think of mercy, what are some things that come to mind? You can just say them. Forgiveness. Thank you. What else? Kind of a big one. We think of mercy, we think of forgiveness. Well, I found a story. It's a very interesting story, and it's actually a true story. I was able to verify it through news articles and things, and it talks about 73 years ago over Germany. The 21-year-old American B-17 pilot glanced outside his cockpit and froze. He blinked hard and looked again, hoping it was just a mirage. But his co-pilot stared at the same horrible vision. "My God, this is a nightmare," the co-pilot said. "He's going to destroy us," the pilot agreed. The men were looking at a gray German Messerschmitt fighter, hovering just 3 feet off their wingtip. It was 5 days before Christmas, 1943. And the fighter had closed in on their crippled American B-17 bomber for the kill. The B-17 pilot, Charles Brown, was a 21-year-old West Virginia farm boy on his first combat mission. His bomber had been shot to pieces by swarming fighters, and his plane was alone, struggling to stay in the skies above Germany. Half his crew was wounded, and the tail gunner was dead, his blood frozen in icicles over the machine guns. But when Brown and his co-pilot, Spencer Pinky Luke, looked at the fighter pilot again, something odd happened. The German didn't pull the trigger. He stared back at the bomber in amazement and respect. Instead of pressing the attack, he nodded at Brown and saluted. What happened next was one of the most remarkable acts of chivalry recorded during World War II. Stigler pressed his hand over the rosary he kept in his flight jacket. He eased his index finger off the trigger. Alone with a crippled bomber, Stigler changed his mission. He nodded at the American pilot and began flying in formation so German anti-aircraft gunners on the ground wouldn't shoot down the slow-moving bomber. Stigler escorted the bomber over the North Sea and took one last look at the American pilot. Then he saluted him, peeled his fighter away, and returned to Germany. Years later, Brown would track down his would-be German executioner for a reunion that reduced both men to tears after the war was over. The author called it one of the most remarkable acts of chivalry, but it was mercy that prevailed that day. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. The word mercy is used in the Gospel of Matthew to refer to showing compassion, forgiveness, pity, or favor towards the suffering and the needy. We can really understand it when we read about the Good Samaritan in the Gospel of Luke. Remember, there was a man who fell among robbers and was beaten severely. A priest and a Levite pass by and do not offer any assistance. But a Samaritan comes to his aid, takes him to an inn, and pays for his care. And Jesus then asks, "Which of these do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" And the man who knew the law, or the lawyer, responded, "The one who showed him mercy." You see, mercy is not just a feeling. Mercy is not some detached feeling or sentiment that does nothing. Mercy is a feeling that causes action. Mercy is a feeling that causes someone to act. Sometimes we describe mercy as not giving to others what they deserve. Mercy is not refusing to bring judgment on those deserving of judgment. It is a genuine compassion expressed in genuine help and selfless concern. The people in God's kingdom are those who are givers of mercy. Mercy is something that is shown, not merely felt. Mercy was not a characteristic in the first century, and it still isn't in ours today. Mercy was called the disease of the soul. It was a sign of supreme weakness. Our culture says the same thing. If you don't look out for yourself, no one else will. Another slogan, don't get mad, get even. There's even the saying, show no mercy. Today, like back then, mercy is still a weakness in the minds of many. But what about the mercy of God? Jesus showed mercy on many occasions. He looked on people and was moved with pity and compassion. He showed love toward all. It's this love that attracts us. It's that love of Jesus that really draws us to him. Because we can see, wow, someone loved everybody unconditionally. How is that even possible? And that's what draws us to the cross. That's what draws us to him. He truly cared for people. He had legitimate concern of their needs and their difficulties. As we get closer to Easter, and as it's coming right around the corner, we'll read of the ugliness of the human heart and how the religious leaders treated Jesus in his love and compassion. The more Jesus showed mercy, the more they hated him. They looked for opportunities to kill him. Yet even while hanging on the cross, with nails driven through his outstretched hands, they experience the mercy of Jesus. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing," he cried out. And even as he crept closer to death, the mercy he possessed in his heart allowed him to ask God to forgive them. That's powerful if you really think about it. They hung a man on a cross, and yet he asked God to forgive them. Can you feel that call for mercy just in that image? We all kind of have that image in our heads of what that looked like. Can you see the love of a cruel world? And yet, he still asked, "Father, forgive them." We must be merciful because this is the very character of God. Jesus declared, "Be merciful even as your Father is merciful." It does not say, "If this," or "What about this?" It's just a straight statement, "Be merciful," Jesus said. God's mercy is the basis of our forgiveness. Our lack of forgiveness and our unwillingness to forgive others come from the lack of mercy for others. That's a hard one. It kind of hurts. Mercy drives forgiveness. If I am not forgiving, then I am not merciful. And if I am not merciful, as the text says, then mercy will not be shown on me. But there's a challenge to mercy. It's hard. Mercy is a challenge to develop in our souls, in our bodies, in our physical, in our daily lives. Showing mercy means you have to roll over and show that pink underbelly a little bit. You got to be vulnerable. You got to open yourself up. And for people like me, that's hard to do. You don't want to be vulnerable. You're taught not to be. Showing mercy to others will result in you getting hurt at some point. I think you just got to have to swallow that pill. Showing mercy will result in you getting hurt at some point. We will be hurt by what other people do to us. The mercy we give others will at times be taken advantage of. But it's what we're called to do. We will extend ourselves to help people without reciprocation or without a thank you. And we should give of ourselves regardless of what we receive in return. Compassion and pity are not often praised in our world. That's what God tells us we should show through this broken world. No one earns mercy. It should be freely given. Mercy is compassion that is undeserved. We shouldn't pick and choose who we give mercy to. We're trying to be like the character of God, extending mercy to all. But here's the hard part. We got to show mercy to people who sin against us. When we become the victim of someone else's offense, we're the ones called to show mercy. Now, how fair is that? It's not. But it's God's character. It's what Jesus taught. But it's not fair. But if you think about it, it is. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. That's where it becomes fair. To truly offer mercy is to wear yourself out for the forgiveness and compassion of others. You will be exhausted. But sometimes we misunderstand it. Mercy doesn't mean that sin is ignored. It doesn't mean that eyes are closed and that we say, oh, well, we just forget about an offense. We know this because God is merciful towards us, but that does not mean our sins are ignored. Mercy recognizes the reality of sin. Mercy has the recognition of a wrongdoing. Jesus did not show mercy by pretending that people were perfect. He didn't offer mercy to people pretending there were no sin in their lives. He did not show mercy by not convicting them of their sins. In fact, he taught them in his conviction of their sins. He identified the sin. And he gave them hope for a forgiveness if they would believe in him. Believe that he was sent by the Father. He loved them, and he loves us anyway. He loved them, and he loves us anyway. Mercy calls sin out and then provides a way to salvation by grace. It is a lifeline to overcoming a punishment that we so deserve. Look at it this way. Offering mercy can introduce a sinner to God's grace. Remember, God's grace offers freedom to all people. I saw that last week. And it teaches godly living. So if God's mercy can help usher someone to the Lord, they will then receive his grace. Because salvation is offered through that grace. God wants people to have a heart for him. But he also wants people to have a heart for others. He does not want heartless believers, robots. We're here to help and heal by the power of God's love inside of us. You hear so many times of people arguing or fussing and fighting, saying unkind words, being just ugly to each other. You know, I tell people, "Word, don't be ugly. God don't like ugly." But you hear of that. And they harbor this bitterness in their heart, and it does nothing but sour you from the inside out. And causes division. They get their feelings hurt. I talk with someone on a regular basis who I call my sounding board, and we've talked about how ugly the world is and how we are ugly to each other. Imagine a world full of grace and mercy. Imagine that. What if you could impact one life, just one single life with the gift of mercy? There's no telling what seed would be planted. And the mercy tree would be given out. And the grace tree would be providing fruit to others because you impacted one life. What does that look like for you? Situations look different for everyone. We go through all kinds of different things. Maybe there's someone you know that is struggling with sin, or someone who's offended you, and yet you say, well, they did that to themselves. They brought it on themselves. But what does God call us to feel? The prophet Micah declared, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Pretty clear statement. We shouldn't look for opportunities for others to do good for someone else. We need to accept the mercy we've been given that can spur us to seek opportunities to lead others to that same mercy. Mercy is given to those who show mercy. In one of Jesus' parables, the tax collector proclaimed, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And he did. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. We will all stand before God and be judged for our faith and our works and all of our stuff. But what is our alternative? Offer mercy, that's one. And what if we don't? Well, James, the book of James pretty much clears it up. It says, judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. We'll say that part again because that's a hard statement. Judgment without mercy will be shown to those who are not merciful. I can tell you that I want mercy. I don't want judgment. But mercy triumphs over judgment. Judgment will be without mercy. It can also be said that you'll get what you deserve. Is that what we want to have happen to us? You really put yourself in other people's shoes before you say they did it to themselves. What if it was us? Do we want to get what we deserve for the way we treat others? Maybe you know of others who have been merciful towards you and your flaws and your errors and your mistakes. Yet how often will we refuse to help people, refuse to forgive, refuse to be merciful because we think the other person put themselves in that situation? Is that the right thing? But we want others to be merciful towards us. I'm not going to forgive you, but you can forgive me because I deserve it. We've all been selfish like that. Last week, I posed some scenarios. There are some pretty difficult scenarios. They got harder as the story went on. And I asked you to touch your nose if you agreed with something. I didn't want to have you raise your hand because you want to embarrass you. But I gave you scenarios of different situations where someone offended another person and asked you if you would offer grace or no grace. And I must be honest, I was a little shocked by some of the responses. But let me ask you, remember those scenarios. And if you weren't here last Sunday, please look online and listen. If you were the offender in those scenarios, if you offended someone, would you want someone else to touch their nose and offer grace? What about mercy? I asked you last week at the end of the message, the question I've been just fighting with, if you were deciding who gets into heaven, would you let yourself in? And I had someone tell me that one really hurt. That one just stung. Let me be the first to answer that I'm a sinner who makes mistakes and I would not let myself in. I absolutely would not. I recognize I am not worthy of God's grace and God's mercy, but I thank Him for it each and every day. I come to church, I talk about my faith, I share my love of Jesus, I share my love of people. I offer compassion, I try to offer compassion when I can. I try to show to others, I serve others because He wakes me up every morning. He fills my lungs with air. He opens my world with the sunshine. And He renews His grace each and every day. And He renews His mercy each and every day. And He says, I got you. He says, I love you. He says, I forgive you. And that's worthy of my praise, in my worship, in my singing, how awful it is, in my preaching, and preaching and preaching. And that's worthy of me shouting from the rooftops that God loves me. God gives me grace and mercy. And so therefore I have to show grace and mercy to those who offend against me because I offend against God. grace and mercy towards others can begin in our lives when we finally come to the revelation that God is showing grace and mercy to us. You have to realize that you are being offered grace and mercy from God before you can fully give it to someone else. Recognize your situation and realize God's got you. It's the mercy that shows compassion to the helpless and extends forgiveness to the offender. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. God's mercy compels us to be gracious, forgiving, kind, compassionate, and all those other words we can come up with. But it also requires us to be merciful towards everyone. I read this statement in an article about grace and mercy, and I've talked to people before about how hard it is to kind of discern between the two. And it says, it's hard for me to offer it to someone who's hurt my feelings. It's hard to offer forgiveness to someone who's done wrong towards me. That's just hard to do because we want revenge. We want them to get it. We want you to get it. You get yours. But listen to this. The author said that for us to offer mercy to others, they need to be actively seeking it from others. Think about that. For us to offer mercy to others, they must be actively seeking it. But, there's always a but, we should have a prepared heart. Prepared to give grace. Prepared to give mercy. When it is asked of us. Now, I'm not saying that you have to forgive everybody. That is, I'm being as human and realistic here as possible. But I'm saying those who come to you and say, Tommy, will you forgive me? My heart has to be prepared because God commands it to say, yes, I do. So we pray for a prepared heart. It is my prayer that God's people have the revelation that God's mercy is present every day, and that we prepare our hearts to offer it, to give it when it is asked of us, to the helpless, to the offender, to the hurting. Those who seek forgiveness and compassion, it is the grace and mercy of God for us that will help us lead others to Him. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. I pray right now, today, before we leave this place, I pray that hearts will be transformed, that hearts will be changed, hearts will be prepared, minds will be blocked out because of our fallen nature, but that our heart recognizes the need to offer grace and mercy to those who seek it from us, because we are all worthy of God's grace and God's mercy. Amen.
Thank you, Tommy. We pray you have a refreshing time away. We're going to close our service today by standing and singing hymn number 425, verses 1 and 3, Cleanse Me.
God, I thank you again for gathering us together today to worship and praise you, Lord. Help us see the need of grace and mercy in others' lives. Give us the strength and courage and the patience and forgiveness to go out and show compassion to others who have offended us. Lord, we thank you for your grace and mercy and your love over our lives each and every day. Protect us as we depart this place. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Have a great week.